Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The Apostle Paul writes these words to remind the church at Corinth the basic tenets of the gospel of Jesus Christ. These basic tenets are His death, His burial, and His resurrection. Some were challenging the resurrection of Jesus Christ in this congregation. And Paul reminded them that it is a foundational principle of the gospel. You see, the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, as Paul states here in these verses. And as we think about Jesus today, I would like for us to turn our thoughts to His death, His burial, and His resurrection, in the hopes that each one will understand what Jesus went through so that we could be saved, and that we could understand the significance of those events in His life for us today as we develop our relationship with Him, Jesus the Christ. First of all, let's think about the death of Jesus. Jesus' death was preceded by great suffering. He prayed in the garden, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Matthew 26 and verse 39. Luke tells us that His sweat was as great drops of blood. Luke 22 and verse 44. We see that when He was arrested, He was abused by the high priest and his followers. He was then delivered to Pilate, and He was mocked with a purple robe, beaten with a reed, and a crown of thorns was placed on His head, John 19 and verse 2. He was beaten then with a Roman scourge, Mark 15 and verse 15. And after all of this, He was forced to carry His own cross, John 19 and verse 17. And so Jesus' death was preceded by great suffering. But then Jesus was crucified on the cross. Crucifixion entailed that both the hands and the feet were nailed to a wooden beam that was then erected and stood upright for all to see. Mark 15 and verse 25 says it was the third hour, and they crucified Him. John 20 and verse 25 talks about the nail prints that were in Jesus' hands and in His feet as a result of His being crucified. And then He hung in that position on that cross for 6 hours. Luke 23 and verse 44 tells us. And Jesus died on that cross. There are some who say that Jesus did not die on the cross. That is a mistake. It is not possible that He did not die on that cross. The Romans knew how to inflict the penalty of death, and they knew how to make sure that someone died, and they would have known whether or not He was dead or not when He was hanging on that cross. The blood loss that Jesus had to endure from the scourging, the crown of thorns, and the crucifixion itself were massive. There was also great thirst on His part, shortage of breath as He hung on the cross, and tremendous muscular fatigue. And after those 6 hours on the cross, Jesus said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit, John 19 and verse 30. And then one of the soldiers who were standing by wanted to make sure he was dead, so he came with the spear and he thrust it into Jesus' side. And John 19 and verse 34 says, "And immediately blood and water came out." Blood and water, the result of a broken heart. The water that was surrounding Jesus' heart was pierced along with the heart, and the blood and water came forth as a result of that. Jesus' death was a tremendous death. But there were thousands of crucifixions in the Roman Empire each year. What is it that made Jesus' crucifixion and death special? After Jesus died on the cross, he was then buried in a tomb. His body was taken down from the cross. Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent council member who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, coming and taking courage, went into Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Mark 15 and verse 43. He wanted this body so that Jesus' body could be buried and not cast aside with the common criminals who were placed into an open grave. Jesus' body had to be hastily prepared for burial, because the Passover day was coming quickly, and they could do no work on the high Passover Sabbath day. And so he brought fine linen. He took him down and wrapped him in the linen, and he laid him in a tomb which had been hewn out of the rock, and rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. Mark 15, verse 46. And Nicodemus, who was also a disciple of Jesus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. And then they took the body of Jesus and bound it in strips of linen with the spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury. John 19 and verses 39 through 40. And so Jesus' body was hastily prepared for burial. And then Jesus was placed into a tomb. This is a custom that we're not as familiar with in our day and time. We place bodies in graves today, and then they're covered with dirt. But a tomb is a place where bodies were placed that was hewn out of rock. And you could go inside the rock. You could go inside the tomb. And then there were various places to set the decomposing bodies. And the bodies would be set out in the tomb. And these tombs were communal in nature, so that there would be many bodies perhaps in one tomb. And they had little shelves that you could place the bodies on so that the loved ones could come in and continue to minister to those bodies until a certain time, in which the bodies were then placed in little niches that were carved into the side of the wall of the tomb. And the bodies were then slid back out of view to the point where then the body could decompose, and the bones would be the only thing that would be left. And then they would take an instrument like a rake or something like that, and they would go in and they would pull all of those bones out, and then they would take the bones and they would place them in a casket called an ossuary or a bone box. It was a very small box in which the bones of a person would fit, and they would put the lid on that box, and then they would store that box. Very different burial customs than what we are familiar with. But Jesus' body was placed in a tomb. one of these tombs. But we see that it was a tomb that had never been used before. A brand new tomb. There were no other bodies in this tomb. Only Jesus' body was placed in this tomb. And so when they took the body, they wrapped it in linen, they laid it in a tomb that was hewn out of the rock where no one had ever lain before. Luke 23 and verse 53. And the women who had come with him from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb and how his body was laid. Luke 23 and verse 55. And John 19 and verses 41 through 42 says this: Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So there they laid Jesus because of the Jews' preparation day, for the tomb was nearby. And so Jesus was placed on a Friday afternoon in a newly carved out tomb in which nobody had ever laid. His body was wrapped with linen. Within that linen were burial spices that were designed to preserve and to fragrant the body. And a great stone was rolled over the front of that tomb. Now on the next day, or that evening at night, some of the Pharisees came to the chief priests and said, "We need a guard to guard this tomb so that the disciples do not come and steal him away." And so Pilate said, "You have a guard." And so they took a guard and they placed it in front of the tomb. These were Roman soldiers who were under penalty of death if they did not do their duty of preserving that place and making sure that no one entered into that tomb to disturb that body. But as we read in Matthew chapter 28 and verses 1 through 7, the time came when Jesus' body was to be resurrected. Now Jesus died, and he died on the cross. Crucifixion was a common form of punishment for criminals in that day and age. What was so special about Jesus' death? Jesus was buried. He was buried in a tomb, a common practice for people of that day and time. What was so special about Jesus' burial? And then Jesus was raised from the dead. In Matthew 28, we read, "Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you.'" In Mark 16 and verses 1 through 7, Mark also records the account of Jesus' resurrection. "Now when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, 'Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?' But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him, as he said to you." So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. In Luke 24 and verses 1 through 12, we read the account of Luke about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. "Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, "The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again."' And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen clothes lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. And in John 20, in verses 1 through 16, we hear John's account of the resurrection. John writes these words: "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and said to them, 'They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him.' Peter therefore went out and the other disciples and were going to the tomb. So they ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own home. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' She said to them, 'Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him.' Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?' She supposed him to be the gardener, said to him, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away.' Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned and said to him, 'Rabboni,' which is to say, 'Teacher.'" The resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, there were other resurrections before Christ was raised from the dead. There were resurrections in the Old Testament. Jesus even performed some resurrections himself. Peter performed a resurrection from the dead one time. What makes Jesus' resurrection so special? What is it about Jesus' death and Jesus' burial and Jesus' resurrection that makes them special. It wasn't because of the death and the burial and the resurrection itself. It was because of who died and who was buried and who was raised. Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us, the incarnate Word, Yahweh, the great I Am. You see, it was God Himself in the body of Jesus who went through that death and that burial and that resurrection to take the punishment for my sins so that I could have the hope of eternal life. You see, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 53, verses 5 and 6. And so God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5 and verse 8. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. And Paul writes that He was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised for our justification. Romans chapter 4 and verse 25. You see, the Son of God died a man to enable men to live as sons of God. And what a blessing it is that it was Jesus who died and was buried and was then raised. Because anyone else wouldn't have meant anything at all. It would have just been another death. It would have just been another burial. It would have just been another resurrection. But now, Christ has been raised from the dead. Have you identified with Him so that you can appropriate His cleansing blood? Have you acquired the power of the cross of Christ, the place where God in the flesh died so that we sinful man might be saved? Become a child of God today. Through following the simple plan that Jesus gave, die to that old man of sin. Repent of those sins. Be buried in a watery grave of baptism. And rise to walk in a newness of life, thus identifying with Jesus, the Son of God, Emmanuel, God in the flesh. And in that newness of life, you can then live for Him as a child of God. Why not become a Christian this very hour while together we stand and while we sing?